for you.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Are you looking for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, business insurance? If so, get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. That's a second generation local agency, been owned and operated since 1981. If you live in Tennessee, she can help you. Mississippi, she can help you. She's a proud partner with Memphis Tigers Athletics. So, you want to support a local company that supports the local athletic department, then Elizabeth Rook Insurance, that's the agency for you. Do you have a great life insurance policy? If you don't, you need one. You wouldn't want something, particularly if you're the primary provider for your loved ones. You wouldn't want something to unexpectedly happen to you. Now, your family is an emotional mess, obviously, but also in a financial bind. Maybe having to change homes, sell cars. Unfortunately, something happens to families every single day in this country, but it doesn't have to. It's avoidable. It's affordable. You can get a life insurance policy for less money than you probably realize. If you need one, get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. Two locations in the Memphis area, one in Lakeland, one in Covington. You can reach them at 901-867-SAVE, 867-7283. It's Elizabeth Rook Insurance online, rookinsurance.com. Jeff Calkins is an award-winning columnist, daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show, weekdays 9 to 11, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He joins me every day after 5. He's here right now. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
I'm good, Gary.
So I was listening to the Jeff Calkins Show this morning, like I almost always do, and you opened with a classic game of Believe It or Not, and you opened Believe It or Not on Brett Favre. Bad guy. Sounds like he's a bad guy.
sounds like he's a bad guy, doesn't it? Yeah, I was the Believe It or Not question was, can he be soon starring in a real life episode of a remake of The Longest Yard? Did you ever see the remake, by the way? Was it Adam Sandler?
I feel like it was Adam Sandler. I feel like this is something Bennett would be more familiar with than I.
Yes, Adam Sandler. Burt Reynolds was in the remake as well, too.
It was what? It was good? You liked it?
Yeah, it was fine.
You ready for this? I don't think I've seen the original or the sequel or the remake.
I've seen both. I saw the original and I saw the remake. I think Burt Reynolds is in the original, and I think I like the original more, but I don't really have that much of a recollection of it. And what remake is better than the original?
Bennett, you have
You want a hot take?
Give me one.
King Kong, the Peter Jackson one, is better than the original King Kong from the 1930s.
There's one I can't tell you. I've seen either one.
I'm Googling it
never
now.
Never saw either King Kong.
True Lies?
True Lies was a remake?
That's what it says here.
The Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
That's what it says here. It says 14 remakes that are better than the original. And it says True Lies is one of them. That's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis.
He didn't see either. Don't think I saw either of those. All right, what's the next one?
War of the Worlds?
Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
Bennett says, oh, yeah.
That's the sequel's way better. Love that movie.
When were those? I didn't see either of those. This is going to be a hell of a list. I'm not going to have seen either of any.
Okay.
Go ahead, yes.
Some of these I didn't even realize were remakes. Heat was a remake. Al Pacino?
Didn't see either of those.
Robert De Niro? I saw Heat.
I didn't realize it was a remake either.
It was originally a two-part pilot for a proposed series that was reworked into a TV movie that aired in 1989. Then they make the classic crime drama in 1995. I Am Legend remake. Better than the original. That's what it says here.
I Am Legend. That's Denzel.
No, that's Will Smith. What? You're confusing your minority actors.
No, I'm not.
Denzel is one of the great actors of our generation.
What happened in I Am Legend?
Will Smith.
Didn't see that one either. I didn't see any of these. Yeah.
Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. That was I Am Legend.
There's some vampires.
The remake of the remake.
The Fly?
This is really embarrassing. I haven't seen any of these.
Well, I like The Fly.
The Fly.
Jeff Goldblum. David Cronenberg.
Which is that? Was that a remake?
No, yeah. Jeff Goldblum was a remake. The original was 1958.
I did see that one. Jeff Goldblum. Yeah, I saw that one. Did I like it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think I've seen Jeff Goldblum Fly. Definitely never seen the original Fly. Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Never saw either of those.
Yeah, I don't. That's too much. The Birdcage.
Oh, love the Birdcage.
I saw one was with Nathan Lane. And is that the remake with Nathan Lane?
The original was a 19. Yeah, the original. There you go. That's exactly right. The original was a 1978.
Yeah, I think I saw both of those, and they're both freaking hilarious.
Okay, I don't think I saw either. The Bourne Identity?
Wait, what? That's not a remake.
That was remade before Matt Damon? Was it Tom Cruise?
Okay, no.
Or am I confusing my short white...
You're confusing your white actors now. The first adaptation of Robert Ludlum's 1980 novel was a two-part made-for-TV movie originally shown back in 1988 that starred Richard Chamberlain. And then, of course, Matt Damon takes over. So technically,
Richard Chamberlain, famously of Thornbirds.
I guess.
Nice.
Hey, Thornbirds? Thornbirds was a big 1970s miniseries hit. Big 1970s miniseries.
There's a reference.
Hit.
Yeah, I was busy not being alive then.
I like the whole Bourne series. And while they do blend together, it feels like every one of those is a remake of the previous one. but I like that, and I think I'd like it better than the original, having not seen the original.
The Thing?
Oh, love The Thing.
Bennett loves
Which
The Thing?
One?
Wait, but we're not talking about the 2000s remake, are we?
The Thing, a remake of the 1951 film, The Thing from Another World, based on the classic from John W. Campbell.
We're talking about John Carpenter, 1980s with Kurt Russell, right?
It's definitely Kurt Russell.
That is one of the best horror movies of all time.
Bennett,
so good.
Bennett is getting excited over
thing.
Here.
I love The Thing.
Getting fired up by the... Okay, I didn't see either of those.
The Maltese Falcon.
Humphrey
didn't
Bogart?
Have either of those.
Yeah, that's The Mummy.
Which was the remake? When was the remake?
The remake is closer to the source material I'm reading here. The original was 1941. No. Humphrey Bogart was a remake in 1941. The original was 1931.
Okay, well, this is ridiculous. So, whatever.
Who could even keep up?
Who was even alive?
Who was even alive?
We can't discuss this, right?
The Mummy?
So the original one's...
I haven't seen either Mummy.
Yeah.
The original is 1932.
And Brendan Fraser did the remake, right?
And then Brendan Fraser did the remake.
Yeah, they made a ride off of it, yeah.
You should be doing a movie.
Yeah, Bennett, what are you doing wasting your life?
What are you doing here?
I know.
What are you doing wasting your life?
I'm an encyclopedia of useless knowledge.
Sitting with me. This dude's sitting, wasting his life, listening to me talk about baseball every day.
Exactly.
He could be talking about the Planet of the Apes trilogy.
He's like Siskel and Eddie Bird all combined, wrapped into one.
The Planet of the Apes trilogy is a remake.
What is this?
Planet of the Apes?
Oh, yeah. The new ones are good. Yeah.
Which one's better? I never saw any of the new ones.
They're really good.
I can't keep up. I don't even know. I've reached the age. I don't even
Heston
know what I'm watching.
Charlton Heston one was good. That was
That's the original.
Riveting.
And the last one on this list here, True Grit.
I like the new one. I like the new True Grit. The original one with John Wayne.
Who's the new one? The new one is Eastwood?
New one's Jeff Bridges.
With the Coen brothers.
Okay, once again, I'm confusing people. It's good. The new one's good.
Yeah, very good.
If it's got Jeff Bridges and the Coen brothers, it's probably good.
But the original one was John Wayne, wasn't it?
Yeah. But John Wayne now,
in retrospect.
John Wayne's canceled.
Yeah, John Wayne got canceled.
We canceled John Wayne.
Yeah, yeah.
What for?
Oh, he was saying some wild stuff.
Yeah, he's a bit of a racist, it kind of turns out.
John Wayne's wild.
The Searchers, though, one of the best movies ever. I mean.
John Wayne said some wild stuff. Google.
Is this a recent development, or is this still just missing?
It's something that's happened in, I don't know. I've seen it over the, if you just Google John Wayne was a racist.
Over the last 2 months or over the last 2 years?
Oh, it auto-corrected to John Wayne was a Nazi. Well, that's harsh.
Yikes.
USC has removed, in July 2020, USC removed their John Wayne exhibit. After the actor's racist comments resurfaced. John Wayne said some wild stuff.
Let me tell you
what John Wayne said. I'm seeing it here. This is what he said once upon a time. I believe in white supremacy until the blacks.
He said that?
Oh, Jesus, Lord. He even said the blacks. I believe in white supremacy until the blacks are educated to a point of responsibility. I don't believe in giving authority and positions of leadership and judgment to irresponsible people. John Wayne was wild.
He also tried to, there was like a Native American girl that won an Oscar, I believe, for something, or was a presenter, and he like tried to fight her backstage at the Oscars.
Well, he's a cowboy. Yeah. Isn't he supposed to?
Right. I guess so. He was in character.
You know, I can't, he's a cowboy. I thought cowboys were supposed to fight Indians.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's depressing to me.
Yeah, John Wayne's done.
That's not surprising at all. Karate Kid was a remake.
Well, it was more of a reboot. In other words, they did Karate Kid. Yeah, they did make a Karate Kid remake with Jaden Smith, maybe?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Jackie Chan, yep.
But he's not Ralph Macchio.
I'm the actual remake.
He's not Ralph Macchio, and he's not.
He's not.
And nobody's Pat Morita. But what?
Well, let's be honest. Nobody's Elizabeth Shue.
Nobody's Elizabeth Shue. But what they have done with the Karate Kid series is restart it with Cobra Kai.
For on TV.
Right. Like 30 years later, they just pick up where these people are. It's great.
And people love that.
It's great.
Yeah. Back to Brett Favre.
Yeah, Brett Favre's a bad guy.
How did we get here?
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre seems like a bad guy.
I don't know if he's John Wayne bad.
Listen, when you're taking money from the welfare, from money that's supposed to go to help poor people get by in life, and you are sealing it so your university can build a volleyball facility for your daughter, and you are sending emails that say, hey, there's no way the media can discover this, right? It sort of suggests, you know, what you're doing is a little bit iffy. And he was he was helping steal from the, 100%.
All of the evidence, all of the text messages, the testimony, like legally, I don't want to get into that. But based on the evidence and the reporting, and again, this is why local journalism is important. Mississippi Today is the outlet that's unveiled a lot of this stuff. It is undeniable that, and I don't use this word legally, I just use it practically, that Brett Favre and Phil Bryant, Hall of Fame quarterback and former governor of Mississippi, were literally conspiring to take what I believe is federal funds allocated to states to help with people in need. They were literally conspiring to take that money and build a volleyball stadium in Hattiesburg. Like, that's, again, I don't want to, I'm not a lawyer, but it sounds illegal.
Oh, well, people are going to jail for it. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's 100% true. And the reason that the woman whose texts we are seeing now is that she's turned state's evidence, I think. So she's flipped on this. And so it's why we're seeing what we're seeing. But, it could not be clearer that they were conspiring to siphon off money that is supposed to be used to lift up people in need to pay for a volleyball facility. And they knew what they were doing. And they knew what they were doing was wrong because they concealed it.
And they knew what they were doing, they had to know, was illegal, because I was reading all about this morning. This money, I believe it's federal money that is given to the states, and then the states have a lot of leeway on how to use it, but there are ways that it is explicitly written you cannot use it. And one of the ways you are strictly prohibited from using this money is on any sort of brick-and-mortar building. You cannot build something with this money. And they literally took the money to build something.
Yeah. It's, now whether he'll actually go to jail, who knows. It feels like people with means often don't. So I suspect, if I were betting on this, again, and I don't know the legal niceties or what stage they're at or whether he will be indicted. But my bet would be, Brett Favre is not going to serve time over this. But there's certainly a lot of people who think he should.
Well, the other way you know that they knew what they were doing is wrong is because they lied about it the entire time. Like, Phil Bryant said he had nothing to do with it. He was like, the evidence shows he was in meetings about it. And, like, not just in meetings about it, scheduling meetings about it. Like, making phone calls about it.
Oh, yeah. No, he was texting about, hey, good news, looks like this will happen.
Right.
Come on.
And then Brett Favre was asked in 2020, did the governor ever help you with this? And he said, no. It's like, and then there's text messages that came out this week that show Brett Favre literally telling other people, the governor's helping us with this. It's just, you know, like, and it's all over $5 million. Like, if you really want a volleyball.
The thing is, Brett Favre could have just written a check for $5 million.
That's the thing. Brett Favre has made tens
better
of
better to steal the money from people who need it, you know?
This guy's got incredible cost of living in southern Mississippi. You know that.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, he could have just given the $5 million. I mean, I'm not in the business of telling other people, even super rich people, what to do with the money.
It's important to him. You know that Brett Favre has $5 million. I mean, you know, it doesn't take some great genius to suspect he has $5 million. Bennett, what's Brett Favre's career earnings? I bet we could look up Brett Favre's career earnings. I could have spent some of that money buying blue jeans and stuff. But how much did Brett Favre make over the course of his career?
Well, let's see his net worth. And by the way, this is never accurate or rarely. It's sketchy. But the internet is reporting that Brett Favre's accumulated net worth is around $100 million.
Yeah, well, he's got an extra $5 million, then he still have 95 left to spend another thing.
$95 million. You can get by. You can, as a Mississippian, I can tell you, you can get by on $95 million in Mississippi.
Because I mean, there's no like the taxes are low, right? You don't have a sales. Do you have a sales tax?
Of course, we have a sales tax.
You got a sales tax.
We have sales tax. We have state income tax too.
And you have state income tax too.
Oh, I get killed on the state income tax because, for whatever reason, I guess I could change this. But like, they don't take enough money out of my check.
Yeah, well, that's just control change. That's not the state of Mississippi, Gary. That's get Ripper to ham to fix that.
I know. He talks to me about it every year. I feel like I go it online and I change it, and it's never right. I never get it right. And so I end up having to write this crazy check to the state of Mississippi every single year. Infuriating.
Some people like getting money back. I think if you get money back, it means they've been holding your money for too long. So really better to be in your position, even though it's painful to write the check. Anyway, the point is Brett Favre could have written, if he wanted to build a volleyball facility, he didn't have to steal it from poor people.
I wish Brett Favre would stop stealing from poor people and pay my state income tax. Why can't he do that?
Restitution, he could pay your state income tax.
Yeah, just help me out, Brett Favre. You see Jeff Pearlman? Jeff Pearlman.
I did see this. Go ahead, tell people.
He wrote a book on Brett Favre, you know, several years back, and he was like, it's mostly a glowing tale of you know, this gunslinging quarterback. Like, you know, you get into the addiction and you get into the sexual harassment of Jen Sturger. Like, that's in the book. But broadly speaking, it's a positive book about Brett Favre. And this is the guy who wrote the book, Jeff Pearlman, and he was on Twitter last night, and he said, I would encourage you not to buy it. I would encourage you not to read it. Don't check it out at the library. It's not worth your time. This guy's a bad guy. I made him look like a flawed guy. But he's not just a flawed guy. He's not a good guy with flaws. He's a bad person. Don't buy my book. Maybe the first guy to ever say, don't buy my book.
Probably not a lot of people buying the Brett Favre book right now anyway.
That's
like,
true.
But yes, that it's been a while since he put that book out, hasn't it? It's one of his. He's moved on to writing about the Lakers and Jerry West.
Yes.
But yes. It was, and it's actually one of the dangers of sports writing, because sports writing can lend itself towards hero. I think the word that the people use is hagiography. You know, that you because of what they do on the field, you write about them as leaders and as, you know, and you impute them not just with great physical characteristics, but with, you know. You know, people fall in love with these and these characters. And the truth is that, you know, we saw that most visibly in O.J. Simpson. But you can make someone something because of their on-field exploits, and they can be something completely otherwise off the field. And until you know it, you don't know it. But you, not you, but one, but people are, you know, you're still, there's a lot of stuff that verges on hero worship. And I'm not saying Jeff Pearlman is this. I'm just saying sports writers particularly. And you can look pretty stupid in the end. Bobby Hall, who never likes to even talk about him anymore because he's been he was a great writer for the Commercial Appeal for many, many years. And he was always, always worried about looking stupid someday because of what someone would ultimately do. And it is one of the real traps of sports writing.
Well, you got O.J. Simpson. You know, we tore down Joe Paterno's statue. I think we.
Yeah, and the thing is, Joe Paterno wasn't just written about as a great coach. He was written about as a great man, an educator, and all these people are complicated. You know, but I'm sure Joe Paterno also did some good things. He doesn't become completely evil, right? Based on this, but we don't just if we just say, hey, Joe Paterno is really great at winning ball games, and then you learn this about him, you haven't written anything that's untrue. He was really good at really winning ball games at Penn State. But it's when you put up the statue and you talk about what an educator he is, and what a great man he is, and then this stuff comes up, then you feel stupid. And then you've painted an inaccurate hero worship picture of a man, which does not actually fit his very complicated real life.
Right. In reality, here's the truth. He's probably an amazing football coach who did a lot of great things off the field, but also turned his head to pedophilia and enabled that
monster to continue being a monster.
That's exactly
by turning
right.
his head. Yeah,
and that gets your statue torn down. I think if you turn your
that'll get your statue. But then the question is whether you should be building statues in the first place to people for winning football games. You know, but the truth of the matter is, like, if you go right now, here's the truth: if you go right now and look at what people say about Gandhi, right? Like Gandhi seems like in my mind, there hasn't been a remake of the film, but the film was great. And Gandhi, you think of as a great man of peace, right? I don't know what you think about Gandhi, but right now, if you start reading about Gandhi, there's all kinds of stuff about Gandhi that people. And so I don't know, building statues to anyone is a little perilous because there's all people are trying to cancel Gandhi for different stuff.
Well, I think what happens is that if you live long enough, and this is not in the Joe Paterno story. I mean, Joe Paterno, what he did is awful at any time. O.J. Simpson, obviously double murder,
John
awful.
Wayne. John Wayne.
Was John Wayne? And I ain't defending John Wayne. I'm anti John Wayne. But was he a product of his time? On some
level? That's the other thing, is that how much of this is people said things that at the time were considered acceptable things to say. Not I'm taking this out of the John Wayne context, just generally. You know, if you go back to George Washington owning slaves, right? Heinous. He owned slaves. Tear down, don't ever name anything after George Washington. But if you are living in your time and then you are holding them up to standards of another time, is that fair?
I think that's complicated because here's the truth. They didn't cancel John Wayne when he said that.
Did we know he was saying that at the time?
Yeah, was it like in a magazine. Yeah, it was like a magazine thing. There was a moment in time where John Wayne said those things. Those things were published and nobody even blinked.
Well, right now, if you said homosexuals should not be, gay people should not be allowed to marry, you will be canceled. Right,
unless you're a Republican senator.
Unless you're a Republican senator, but if you're a lot of people in a lot of lines of work, if you said, J.K. Rowling says, I think women are I believe women are the people who are born with vaginas, right? And that's it for J.K. Rowling, right? And there was a time, but if you had said that 15 years ago, it wouldn't have been slightly controversial. And if you had said, I probably believed in 1980 that marriage was between a man and a woman. I probably believed it. And I probably said it. I there's no record of me because no one cared what I said, but I probably said it. And so people's positions and understanding of life changes and grows. And then is it fair to impute what we think now to what we thought then?
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you are famous enough to where people care about what you say and what you say is recorded, documented somewhere, if you live long enough, odds are something you said 60 years ago is not going to hold up to modern day standards.
Won't hit the same way, right, to modern ears. Yeah.
Hey.
Something. Yeah, on some things. Everyone isn't at the cutting edge of what is considered progressive enlightened thought at every moment of every day, right? Of every time. In fact, didn't Barack Obama have some stuff about gay marriage that's like people used to throw back at him? Like, because he was, I feel like And so I do think it is. I do think it is complicated. It's not complicated when you're stealing stuff from poor people like Brett Favre, or when you're murdering people like O.J. Simpson. But in terms of those social beliefs, I think it is. I think it's much more complicated.
And here we are talking on radio 2 hours a day. It's probably over for us at some point. You know?
Oh, I don't understand any question. The thing is, no one cares enough about me to cancel me, hopefully. You know, that's the hope.
Fingers crossed.
I would, damn it.
Fingers crossed. Anyway. All right, I'll see you later.
See you, GP.
Bye-bye. Brett Favre's a bad guy.
Man.
And I didn't want him to be a bad guy.
I didn't
guy.
Want him to be either. I liked the old gunslinger.
I like Brett Favre. I used to like watching Brett Favre
Me
play
too,
football.
Man.
Like Brett Favre. But he's shown himself to be a not great guy.
You can't. This story.
He sent ding-a-ling pics to a Jets employee.
Yes.
That's not okay.
Not okay. And she was going off last night, if you're following her on Twitter. Jen Sturger.
I don't follow her on Twitter.
Yeah.
Should I?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But
what about on Instagram?
That as well. But, yeah, she
feels like she'd be a better Instagram follower.
Great Instagram follower.
You know what
as
I
well.
Mean.
But, no, she was going off on him last night. But, no.
He's had enough.
You cannot, especially when the biggest city in your state, the capital of the state, has brown water right now, and you're stealing money that's supposed to go to people, underprivileged people. Like,
it's
a horrible look.
And it's one thing if, because I saw Brett Favre's lawyer was quoted, and he was like, Brett's done nothing wrong and been honorable this entire time. Like, when you are literally asking someone else involved in this scam, that's what it was, a scam. I don't know if that's the legal term, but it was a scam. When you're asking other people involved in this, hey, is there any way the media can find out about this? Which is literally what he asked.
Red flag.
Well, then you know you're wrong.
Yeah.
This isn't one where, listen, Brett asked, like, if this were the story, then maybe there's a way out for him. Listen, all Brett did was, as a famous Mississippian with connections to prominent politicians, he went to the governor and said, hey, listen, you know, I'd love to get a volleyball stadium built at Southern Miss. That's my alma mater. My daughter's on the volleyball team there. They need something new. Is there a way the state of Mississippi can help with that? And then Governor Bryant said, yeah, Brett, let me work on it. And that was the end of it? And then they get it done? And Brett Favre's like, I don't know anything about
right.
where money comes from and what it's allowed. I just said, can the state of Mississippi help us with this? And the governor told me yes, and then the governor got it done, and I was like, woohoo. That's all I knew. But they knew they were taking money from a place you're not allowed to take money from. They knew exactly what they were doing. They created a nonprofit, and then there's this one moment in the text messages where originally, they got like $5 million set aside from this fund. And then they realize, or Brett realizes, that the way the story reads is Brett Favre realizes it's going to cost more than that. So they try to figure out how to get more money out of this fund. And they're like, what if we paid you $1.1 million to do like radio spots for this fund that helps needy people in Mississippi? In other words, we're paying you out of the nonprofit to promote it. And, you know, as, hey, this is a great thing Mississippi's doing. Even though, like, I believe every state's got this same type of thing. But whatever. So we'll pay you to do these radio spots. Get you the $1 million, $1.1 million. And then you donate it back to your alma mater for this volleyball facility. And not only does that get us to where we need to get financially, but it makes you look like you gave $1 million.
That's right.
Of your own money to your alma mater to build something not for football but for volleyball. And you know what his response is? I was just thinking that's a way to do it. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
Dude, by the way, like, why couldn't Brett Favre just pay for this? Well, doesn't he have enough money to pay for a volleyball facility? He's filthy rich.
Net worth is, according to the internet, $100 million. Like, if
I think he could have gotten that done out of his own pocket.
If you trust the internet, there's no denying he could have got that done out of his own pocket. Instead, he decided to participate in a scam to funnel money out of a program designated to help needy people in his home state. I don't know if you know much about Mississippi, but there's a lot of needy people in Mississippi. Yep. A lot of needy people in Mississippi. Bad guy. You would think at some point something would just kick in and you'd go, all right, even if I know this is illegal, but I still think I could get away with it, just doesn't feel right with me. You would think something would kick in and you go, this just doesn't feel right. Even if they say, hey, you're not going to get caught. Is what we're doing illegal? Yeah, technically. But we're not going to get caught. This is fine. There's no way to get caught. You would hope something would kick in and say, yeah, but this just doesn't feel right. You know, I really want to get this done, but not like this. But whatever it is that makes a normal person have that moment, Brett Favre doesn't seem to have that.
No.
It's unfortunate.
It is.
Be back in a second.
How's your mental health? It affects our home life, work life, and relationships. But you are not alone. Please join us for Odyssey's I'm Listening special, a timely two-hour national mental health conversation, Wednesday, September 21st at 6 p.m. Hear from some of the biggest names in music and sports, insights from trusted mental health professionals, and of course, your stories. It's okay to not be okay. Please join us Wednesday, September 21st at 6 for I'm Listening, right here and on the Odyssey app. For more, visit imlistening.org.
So I was in Oak Hall on a recent Saturday morning. I walked past some beautiful Peter Millar shirts on my right, then looked down towards the women's section, discovered that someone was serving drinks. I asked Paul Cowers, what's the special occasion? He said, it's Saturday, which is another reason I enjoy my visits to Oak Hall so much. You never know what's in store. Maybe they'd be having a trunk show from one of their designers. Maybe you'll bump into an old friend. I went one weekend and they were grilling cheeseburgers outside. The place will put a spring in your step. But there are a couple things you can count on whenever you visit. First, the best, most helpful sales staff in the world. If they can make me look good, believe me, they can make you look good. And second, they've got the best clothes you'll find anywhere. There was a beautiful hybrid quarter zip hoodie that caught my eye the other day. The sweaters are just starting to come in. The Howler collection has to be seen to be believed, and I'm a sucker for their sport coats and ties. It doesn't have to be a special occasion to visit Oak Hall. That's the magic of the place. Whether it's your first visit or your 500th visit, they make it special every time.
Looking for better paying hourly work or even a new career? Millennium Search hires for the Mid-South's best companies like, well, we can't say the name, so let's just say it's not the family business, but you might be working for a nephew? Visit jobswiththebest.com. Jobswiththebest.com.
Kick off football season at the Wing Guru and savor 21 flavors of lip-smacking goodness. In September, enjoy 20-piece party wings for only $19.99 in store only. Party wings the way you like them. The Wing Guru for lip-smacking goodness is ready for football.
This weekend, save up to 50% off during Robert Owen Jewelers' Buy More, Save More event. Plus, sparkle more with up to 60 months to pay. Bigger, brighter diamonds, 5 locations, or online at rijewelers.com. See a store for complete details. This weekend only, folks.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Case Legal Media is responsible for the content of this ad.
Attention all military members or military families or contractors that spent time at Marine Base Camp Lejeune. If you or a family member lived, worked, or served at Camp Lejeune at any time from 1953 to 1987, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call 800-817-0385 now to see if you qualify. That's right. Marines, their families, employees, contractors, and anyone who lived, worked, or served at Camp Lejeune may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Studies have found the water at Camp Lejeune was contaminated with toxic chemicals for decades, causing serious health conditions such as cancer, Parkinson's leukemia, and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Congress has approved, and President Biden has signed a new law allowing anyone that spent time at the base to seek the justice they deserve. Billions have been set aside for victims of toxic water claims. If you or a loved one was at Camp Lejeune at any time through 1987 and developed a serious health condition, you or your family may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Hurry, time is limited. Call 800-817-0385. That's 800-817-0385. 800-817-0385.
Buyers need an agent who knows exactly how to find the best homes and negotiate the best deal for them. Interest rates are rising, but working with Josh Hysaw means having the best options and strategies to make your unique circumstances a success. With Josh's Buy Before You Sell program, Josh can give you the cash that'll help negotiate the terms you desire on your new home. For maximum convenience, Josh can make you an instant cash offer. And remember, Josh offers flexible fees, no upfront cost, and he'll let you out of the contract at any time risk-free. So please call the only agent I would trust if I need to sell my homes, Josh Hysaw, team of Keller Williams Realty. You can reach him at 901-461-8147. That's the number. Just look up joshhysaw.com or Google Josh Hysaw team.
If you need to sell your home, there's only one thing to do. Call Josh, H-I-S-A-W. Go to joshhysaw.com.
paid non-attorney spokesperson. The Settlement Specialist, LLC, is responsible for the content of this ad.
Attention, this is an important message for anyone that spent time at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. If you or a family member lived, worked, or served at Camp Lejeune at any time between August 1, 1953 and December 31, 1987 and developed a serious health condition, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call 800-920-2139 now to see if you qualify. That's right, studies have found the water at Camp Lejeune was contaminated with toxic chemicals for decades, causing serious health conditions such as bladder, breast, or kidney cancer, Parkinson's, leukemia, and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Congress has approved and President Biden has signed a new law allowing anyone that spent time at the base affected by injury to seek the justice they deserve. Billions of dollars have been set aside by the government to compensate victims. If you or a family member lived, worked, or served at Camp Lejeune during this time and developed a serious health condition, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation even if you were denied a disability claim in the past. Call 800-920-2139 now to see if you qualify. Hurry, time is limited. Call 800-920-2139. That's 800-920-2139. 800-920-2139.
If you own a business, this has been a bumpy ride. From pandemic to inflation, I'm sure you could use a break. If your business has five or more employees and survived COVID, you might be eligible to receive a payroll tax refund of up to $26,000 per employee. The challenge is getting your hands on it. Hi, I'm Howard Mackler, and that's why I founded GetRefunds.com to cut through the red tape and get you the money. The team of tax attorneys we have put together are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program. We do all the work, charge not a dime up front, and simply share a percentage of the cash that we get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those that took PPP, nonprofits, and even those that had increases in sales. We have helped return over $1 billion to businesses, and we can help you too. Just go to GetRefunds.com/sports, click on Qualify Me, and answer a few questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited period of time. Don't lose out on up to $26,000 per employee. Go to GetRefunds.com/sports. That's GetRefunds.com/sports.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Too late to set my demons straight. I know I made you wait, but how much can you take? I hope you see the God in me. I hope you can see. And if it's up, stay down for me. Yeah.
Sherry, sherry, cocoa bar, Serafina, flaming eyes. Where I'd be without you, love. That's your wings and trust. I feel you deep.
Trust me, can I trust you? Don't judge me. I'm a diehard, it gets ugly. Too passionate, it gets ugly.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue. It's Memphis Barbecue Company. Just across the state line, 709 DeSoto Cove. From Memphis, it's easy to get to. Just take 55 south to that Goodman Road exit. Get off, go right. You can see it from the interstate. Easy to get to and terrific, obviously. The barbecue is great. Owned by Melissa Cookston, 7-time world champion and the first woman ever inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. But even if you're not in the mood for barbecue or somebody with you isn't in the mood for barbecue, understand there's going to be something on the menu that you enjoy. They got salads, burgers, sandwiches, catfish, salmon. grilled chicken, chicken tenders, meatloaf, smoked wings. So if you're ever in a situation where it's like, hey, let's get dinner, let's get lunch, what do you want to get? I don't know. I was thinking about, let's go to Memphis Barbecue Company. I don't feel like I had barbecue yesterday. I don't feel like having barbecue again. Okay, you don't have to have barbecue again. We can still go to Memphis Barbecue Company and get a burger, get chicken, get a sandwich, catfish, wings, meatloaf. The menu has a variety for everybody. You can dine in 7 days a week, schedule a pickup order online at memphisbbqco.com. That's the website. You can see the menu there, memphisbbqco.com. Let's do dinner to go.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff, but at least when I talked to Jeff Calkins, we mostly focused on Brett Favre, bad guy.
I hate it. I still love the old gunslinger, GP.
There's a lot of, you know, though, this is one of those deals. You know how at the end of Usual Suspects, like you start looking back at these different moments in the film and you're like, ah, I guess we could have seen this coming.
Yeah.
That's at least what happens to the detective, right?
That's right.
I feel like if we look back on Brett Favre, you can use a lot of signs he's a bad guy.
I think so.
He sexually harassed a employee of his NFL organization when the power dynamic between the star quarterback and this young woman was obviously off balance. Can't do that, Big Ben Bennett.
No.
I have to take sexual harassment courses like twice a year.
Yeah, and we got to take them too. I mean, come on.
I know what you can and can't do. And it's very clear you can't do that. He sent dingling pictures to this woman.
You can't send D-pics.
Not to this woman?
No.
If she were not employed by the New York Jets, maybe you could. I mean, he's married, but that's between him and his wife. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
That's between Mr. Favre and Mrs. Favre. None of my business. But an employee of an NFL franchise? Can't send dingling pics.
No.
He texted dingling pics, and that got him in trouble. Big scandal.
Yep.
And now he participated in a scam to funnel money out of a fund to help needy people in the state of Mississippi and instead used that money to build a volleyball stadium for his daughter's volleyball program at Southern Miss. And you know among the ways he got caught? Why this is a big story? Again this week? Text messaging.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time for Brett Favre to stop texting.
He's not good at texting.
He's terrible.
No. Brett, yeah, and like, in fairness, like, texting was a new thing, like, you know, as he aged. Like, that's...
Stop texting.
Yeah, you got to stop texting, bro.
You got to stop texting, man. That text message has now got him embroiled in controversy two separate times in two different ways.
Should have just picked up the phone, Brett.
Just meet in person.
Yeah.
Like, meet in a parking garage and talk in person. You got to stop. This text message is going to be the death of him.
Yeah.
How many people you think text message has been the death of?
Oh, this day and age, a lot.
Text messages will get you.
They'll get you. You got to be careful. Yeah, you got to be careful. Those things live forever.
Somebody I work with has a buddy. I don't know. I don't know this person. But his wife suspected that maybe he was, you know.
Mm-hmm. Fooling around?
Fooling around a little bit. She had suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
And he had deleted everything out of his phone. And so they reached the point in the argument where he was like, here's my phone. Go through it. Just go through my phone. I don't care.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, let me go through your Apple Watch.
Oh.
And he was like,
I don't do the Apple Watch. That seems like a difficult deal.
It's like putting another bullet in the barrel.
Yeah.
If that's where you put bullets, I don't quite know my gun analogies, but you get the point.
Wait, so what? Like basically he deletes all this stuff off his text.
He was smart enough to delete it out of his phone, but not smart enough to delete it.
It lives on the watch.
It lives on the watch.
Because they're interconnected, your phone and your watch.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they got divorced.
Damn.
Like they literally got divorced. And my buddy was friends with both of them, and he had the, like, he was he was having to navigate these. You got to be careful.
I think rule of thumb, like, and I know this from experience, like, if you're not fooling around and not doing anything wrong and your wife wants to look at your phone, you need to let her look at your phone.
That's true.
Just give her your phone.
That's true.
I'm not doing anything. Here, you can look at my phone.
Here's my phone. Take it.
Yeah. You might see some inappropriate messages between me and some of my friends.
Me and my buddies were talking about this the other day. Like, if my wife went through my phone, what I would actually be afraid of her seeing is the way that me and my friends talk to each other.
That's exactly what I'm afraid of. That's exactly what I know. I give it to her, and she's like, it is, and then she's just like, y'all are idiots.
Yeah, that's like if our wife saw our text messages or got our phones and saw our text messages, they wouldn't be. There's nothing in there about fooling around,
right,
anything, you know, trying to defraud the government, nothing like that. But they, our wives would go, what is wrong with y'all?
You're just kind of psychotic.
What are y'all talking about?
Oh, yeah.
It's text messaging's tough, man.
Yep.
Text messages is Brett Favre just needs to be a little more careful, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
Or he needs to either be a better guy or be a little more careful. You can't be a sloppy bad guy.
No.
He appears to be a sloppy bad guy.
Yep.
It's tough development.
What's the biggest game tonight? Presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
Let's go Major League Baseball. Cardinals, Brewers, Busch Stadium in St. Louis. One team definitely headed to the playoffs. Another team trying to secure an NL wild card. The Cardinals are 83-59. That's first place in the National League Central. Brewers 76-66. Seven games back of the Cardinals in the NL Central. Two games back of the Padres for the third and last NL wild card. So they're on the outside looking in right now, but you know, they won last night, and if they win enough, maybe they can get there. Tonight, Corbin Burnes going for Milwaukee. Adam Wainwright pitching for St. Louis. Milwaukee minus 119 on the road. Cardinals plus 109 inside Busch Stadium. Total 7. First pitch, 6:45. You can watch it on FS1. Big Bet Bennett, give us a winner.
Dude, I was going to say, I think that this is the by far the worst streak I've been on in the history of me on this show. I don't think I got one right last week.
Monday Night Football was a disaster.
Yep.
Had
the Mariners last night.
Had the Mariners last night. They got shut out by Yu Darvish. I actually stayed up and watched that game. They got shut out by Yu Darvish. And now you got to get us a winner. The Brewers are favored on the road.
What am I missing here? Wainwright's on the mound.
Corbin Burnes is really good.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, Wainwright just got his own bobblehead.
He did get his own bobblehead.
Let's go Wainwright at home plus money. I like the cards, man.
We are now officially making bets rooted in the idea that someone recently got a bobblehead. That's where we're at.
That gives you confidence going on the mound.
Maybe it gives you confidence going on the mound.
Like, if I came into work tomorrow and had just gotten my own bobblehead released, like,
you should get your own bobblehead.
That'd be cool if I had my own bobblehead. I think I would have, like, extra confidence. I think I'd probably produce the best show ever if I came in having a bobblehead.
I'm going to trust you on this. Big Bet Bennett says take the Cardinals plus money at home. Largely because Adam Wainwright was recently honored with a bobblehead.
What should I watch on TV? Presented by Edwin Watts Golf.
Can I interest you in Sins of Our Mother?
Sins of Our Mother. What is this about? A sin of a mother?
A mother and her sins.
Yeah.
Sins of Our Mother is a documentary about a mother who sinned.
You'll
recognize this case.
Okay, yep.
Lori Vallow.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm interested. My wife listened to all the Dateline podcasts about it and everything.
I did too.
Yeah.
Lori Vallow. She's this woman. Pretty woman.
Yeah.
Not so pretty that you can overlook her sins.
No, you can't overlook these sins. No.
These are bad sins.
Yes.
This is worse than Brett Favre.
Yes.
She's worse than Brett Favre. Lori Vallow is. Like, if we were ranking them, you would rank Lori Vallow worse than Brett Favre. I don't even think it's a question.
No.
So, her kids disappeared, two of them, little boy, little girl. And they were subsequently found, murdered, and she's now been charged with their murder. And the explanation behind it is, like, she became a part of a crazy religion and married somebody who was part of a crazy religion. And they believed that these kids had gone dark. That's the way they said it. Like they were.
Is it like the Q thing?
I don't know. I try to stay away from all that stuff.
It's like the Q thing before that became a thing.
I can't speak to that. I don't know. I just know it's crazy stuff, you know? It's like, hey, I believe I'm from another world and I'm married to somebody from another world and we're going to rule this world someday, but our kids have gone dark, so they must be eliminated. And they killed the kids. And remember, they went to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. They were just like, hey, where are your kids? And she was like, I don't know. I'm going to Hawaii. The whole thing's bananas.
It is a wild story.
And it's like way more to it than what I've just explained.
Yes.
Like there's another suspicious killing connected to them.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's previous wife died a weird death. A lot going on.
Yes.
A lot of dead people. So this documentary, it dropped today on Netflix.
I'm going to watch it, definitely. Watch this one.
I already know everything about it. But I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Netflix tends to, when they do these documentaries, I say the same thing. Like, I already knew everything about Manti Te'o. And then I watch it, and I'm like...
That was great.
That was great. Yeah. And so, yeah, I bet this will be good.
The Manti Te'o documentary was great. I did eventually watch that one we talked about very briefly. I Just Killed My Father. Or I Killed My Dad, or
yeah,
whatever he said.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a wild story.
Was it good? I hadn't seen that one.
It was worth watching.
Okay.
It was worth watching. So anyway... Sins of Our Mother, dropped today. It's on Netflix.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
Yeah, our Canada Coaches Series, CBS Sports, continued today. I handled this one. We asked roughly 100 college men's basketball coaches, a year into name, image, and likeness rights becoming a reality, is it helping or hurting college basketball? And the majority of coaches say that they think at this moment it is hurting more than it's helping. The consensus seems to be, based on our polling and just conversations I've had with coaches over the past year about this, the consensus in the coaching fraternity seems to be that they're cool and actually they like their student athletes being allowed to make money. They like, some of them have told me, I actually felt guilty making $3 million a year while these guys don't get anything close to that. And so it makes me feel less guilty about my salary that they're now making money as well. So I think the majority of coaches are genuinely in favor of student athletes being able to make money. What they don't like is that there's literally no real regulations or rules that are being enforced. And, you know, as multiple coaches told us, like even in the NBA, there's a salary cap. You can't just spend whatever you want to spend. And right now, we don't have anything prohibiting anything. If a college basketball program wants to spend $150 million on its roster, it could. It won't, but it could. There's nothing saying you can't do that. And so the thing that becomes frustrating for them is they say, recruiting is now just becoming a bidding war. And it's not even like, you know, quietly a bidding war. It's like very out in the open. And players are really picking their schools based on little more than money. It used to be playing time, fit, relationship with the staff. And now in some cases, it is literally just, hey, coach, I love you. I'd love to play for you, but I got to go here because they got way more money to give me than what you guys are willing to give me. And while I recognize that frustration in this sense, some of these guys have been doing this for decades, and their whole world was turned upside down pretty abruptly all of a sudden because name, image, and likeness became a reality at roughly the same time the one-time transfer waiver became a reality. So now you've got your whole team going into the transfer portal, and they're for sale, and you got to buy them back or else somebody will buy them from you. So I get the frustration, and this is not what I got into this profession to do. Now I'm instead of coaching basketball, I'm spending my time rallying boosters and begging for money to get put in a collective so I can go buy my team back. This is crazy. I get that. What I'm less empathetic to is when I hear the coaches say, I just think it's wrong these players are making decisions based on money. Well, you make decisions based on money.
Yeah.
Where'd you used to coach somewhere else other than this power conference school that you coach at now, right? Yeah. Well, why did you leave that job for this job? Probably a lot of reasons I acknowledge, but one of them is the money. You're making $800,000 a year at that school, and now you're making $3.3 million a year. Some of it's the money. You made a decision based on money. Why is it so wrong for players to make decisions based on money? I've made decisions in my own life based on money. And not always based on money. Like, I've taken less money to stay places and whatever. But I have been motivated by money. Most people are. So why is it wrong if players are? I don't get that. You hear all the time, yeah, but what about the mid-majors? This is the other thing I'm less sympathetic to. What about the mid-major programs? They're recruiting these players, developing these players, and then they get good, and then the big programs just buy them. Okay, sure, I agree. That is happening. That also has been happening to coaches for decades. You know, the head coach at Little Rock takes the Little Rock job because it's the best job he can get, just like the player at Little Rock takes the Little Rock scholarship because it's the best scholarship he can get. And then the coach at Little Rock is awesome, and guess what he becomes? The head coach at Texas Tech. So if the best player at Little Rock proves himself to be awesome and gets a Texas Tech offer, what is so wrong with him accepting it for more money? Like, you know, if you're okay with coaches making decisions for money and coaches taking advantage of bigger and better opportunities, then it would be hypocritical to be against players making decisions for money and players taking advantage of bigger and better opportunities. And while I think some coaches, maybe even most, understand that, certainly all don't, because in this polling of roughly 100 coaches, I can't tell you how many of them said, I like the guys making money, but I don't think they should be making as much money as they make because they're just getting bought from one campus to another. And again, the counter to that is always coaches get bought from one campus to another all the time, and you don't seem to have an issue with that. You shouldn't have an issue with this. If you haven't read it yet, go check it out, cbssports.com.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
What'll be Thursday? Thursday night football?
It's a good one.
Chargers and Chiefs.
Yeah.
At Arrowhead Stadium.
Yes, sir.
That's Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes. That is a good one.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Prime Video. Better get ready to stream.
Yep. I'll have to watch a replay. Going to the Memphis Music Hall of Fame tomorrow night, induction ceremony.
Who's going to be there?
The great Priscilla Presley is going to be getting inducted.
The great Priscilla Presley.
Yep, she'll be getting inducted tomorrow night. I think Robert Plant's going to be in the house tomorrow.
Robert Plant?
Yeah. So it's going to be a good
event.
Love
Robert Plant.
Yep. I'll tell you a little bit more tomorrow about it.
My brother texted me one time from like Live at the Garden a few years ago. He's like, and I was out of town. He's like, dude, I'm at Live at the Garden, and this guy is unbelievable. Like doing Led Zeppelin covers.
No.
And I said, who? He's like, Robert Plant. I was like,
yeah,
bro.
I was there.
I was like, Robert Plant is Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, I was like front row. It was amazing.
I love Robert Plant.
Love him too.
I was raised on Led Zeppelin.
Yes, sir.
Had the box set. You didn't have the box set.
I didn't have the box set.
I had the box set.
Yeah, nice.
All right, well, that'll be a fun time. Can't wait for tomorrow. Fired up. Enjoy your night. I'll enjoy mine. We'll be back here tomorrow at 4. Till then, be careful, be kind, be good, rep your hood.
WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, with a legacy of sports as flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers talk. Always live on the free Odyssey app and smart speakers. Say Play 92.9 ESPN, powered by DuckDuckGo.
Brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. Stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer and play today.
Get in the game. The Lotto America jackpot is now up to $22.39 million. And with tickets just $1, make sure to stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer and play today for your chance to win. The next drawing is tonight.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Bridge Legal is responsible for the content of this ad.
Attention. This is an important message for anyone that spent time at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. If you or a family member lived, worked, or served at Camp Lejeune at any time between 1953 and 1987, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call 800-571-0448 now to see if you qualify. Studies have found the water at Camp Lejeune was contaminated with toxic chemicals, causing serious health conditions such as bladder, breast, or kidney cancer, Parkinson's, leukemia, and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Congress has approved and President Biden has signed a new law allowing anyone that spent time at the base to seek the justice they deserve. Billions have been set aside by the government to compensate victims. If you or a family member lived, worked, or served at Camp Lejeune at any time through 1987 and developed a serious health condition, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation, even if you were denied a disability claim in the past. Call 800-571-0448 now to see if you qualify. Hurry, time is limited. Call 800-571-0448. 800-571-0448. 448.
This is a paid advertisement. Pulaski Kirker with principal offices in Houston, Texas is responsible for the content of this advertisement. Brandon Pettijohn is attorney licensed in North Carolina.
Attention! All military members or military families or contractors that spent time at the Marine Base Camp Lejeune. If you or a family member lived, worked, or served at Camp Lejeune at any time from 1953 to 1987, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call 800-618-5703 now to see if you qualify. That's right. Marines, their families, employees, contractors, and anyone who lived, worked, or served